Edward, who did what?
Joseph! He interpreted the king's dreams.
Joseph? Who's he?
Well, he's the one in prison who interpreted my dream. Remember, I told you about him.
Oh, yes. You say he did interpret the king's dream?
Oh, he surely did. And all the court is talking about it. Well, they're amazed. A lowly slave and a foreigner at that, doing what our own wise men and magicians could not do.
Well, is the king happy about it?
Happy? Woo-hoo. He's beside himself with joy. And all because of me. I was the one who told the king about Joseph.
What did the dreams, what did they mean?
Well, it was very simple, really. The 7 cattle and 7 ears of corn were 7 years. Now, the 7 fat cattle and plump ears of corn were 7 years of plenty.
Oh.
And the 7 lean cattle and thin ears of corn were 7 years of famine.
Famine.
Now, Egypt is going to have 7 good years followed by 7 years of famine.
The King and the Slave.
The chief of the royal magicians to see his majesty, Pharaoh, mighty king of all Egypt.
You may come forward, magician.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
You were present, were you not, when the slave interpreted my dreams?
Oh, yes, your majesty.
Did you concur in the interpretations?
It sounded reasonable, your majesty.
Then you believe we will have 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine?
Yes, sir.
What do you think of the slave's solution to the survival of Egypt during the 7 years of famine?
Oh, to store up food during the 7 years of plenty for use during the 7 years of famine is the only solution, your majesty.
And his idea of appointing a wise and discreet man over the land of Egypt to control and gather the food, what do you think of that idea?
Oh, a fine idea, your majesty. Clever, wise.
Do you have any ideas about such a man who would qualify for the position?
Oh, well, sir, I have had a little experience in administrative duties, and I know a little about farming and storing crops.
Fine. Fine, magician. You're just the one I'm looking for.
Oh.
You are now in charge of a committee to look for and find such a man, wise and discreet, to be my prime minister.
Yes, your majesty.
Find the man immediately. Right away. Now. You may withdraw.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
The chief butler to see his majesty, Pharaoh, mighty king of all Egypt.
Did I send for you, butler?
No, your majesty.
Then what are you doing here?
Well, I came to see you, sir, about a very important matter.
Well?
I wish to speak with his majesty about the appointment of a wise and discreet man as prime minister.
You? You're just a butler, my cupbearer. What do you know about affairs of state?
Well, I know nothing about those things, your majesty. But I know a wise and discreet man.
Yes?
Joseph, your majesty.
Joseph?
Well, he's the one who interpreted your dreams.
Oh, yes, the slave from Canaan. Well, what about him?
He is wise and discreet, your majesty.
The slave, wise and discreet.
Well, he is, your majesty. When Joseph first came to Egypt, he was but a lad, only 17 years old. Potiphar, captain of your guard, bought Joseph on the slave market, and soon Joseph, though he was only a mere lad, was in charge of all that Captain Potiphar owned. Well, under Joseph's guidance, Potiphar soon became a wealthy man. Everything that Joseph did prospered.
But if this be true, why was he cast in the dungeon?
Well, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of a crime he did not commit. Oh, your majesty, even in prison, Joseph proved his wisdom and discreetness. Not long after being cast into prison, he was given charge of all the prisoners. And soon they had...
Charge of the prisoners? But he himself was a prisoner.
Oh, yes, your majesty. Even so, Joseph used such good judgment and skill in all that he did that the prison keeper put Joseph in charge of the entire prison. And never has a prison been run so smoothly and well.
You're suggesting that I appoint Joseph, this slave, as a prime minister of Egypt. Put him in charge of the affairs of the nation at this time of crisis.
He is wise and discreet, your majesty.
But he's also a slave.
Well, if he's capable of saving Egypt during the coming 7 years of famine, Well, it seems wise to overlook his past, wouldn't you say so, Your Majesty?
Yes. Well, yes, of course. All right, Butler. I look further into the matter and see what I can learn about this slave. Magician, have you yet found a man wise and discreet to become my Prime Minister?
Well, Your Majesty, frankly, sir, we haven't. Unless it be one of your own council, such as I.
I have found one, even if you haven't.
Oh, yes, Your Majesty?
The man who interpreted my dreams.
Oh, but he's just a slave, Your Majesty.
He was wise and discreet enough to interpret my dreams and suggest a way to save Egypt during the 7 years of famine. That's something none of you magicians or wise men have done.
Yes, Your Majesty.
His name is Joseph. Mm. He was just a young fellow. Only 17 when he came here as a slave to Potiphar, the captain of my guards. In no time, he was steward of all that Potiphar had. Oh. Even in prison, he was soon given charge of all the prisoners. Oh, he must have something. Qualifications that I need in my prime minister. Investigate him. Find out all you can about him and report back to me right away. Right away, understand?
Oh, yes, Your Majesty.
Be gone. Be gone with you. Well, magician, you're back.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Well?
Your Majesty, Joseph is a good boy.
Joseph is a good boy. You found that out. Well, well. Hooray for our side.
But Your Majesty, he... Well, Joseph is scarcely the man you'd want to trust with the affairs of state.
And why isn't he?
Well, he's a young man and a slave.
Go on.
Well, Your Majesty, a slave. Well, a prime minister with the background of a slave would bring disgrace to His Majesty's court. People would talk, gossip. Soon the entire world would know that a mere slave of no reputation had become prime minister of Egypt. Egypt would lose prestige. We would hang our heads in shame and disgrace.
I've got to find a prime minister to handle the situation during the coming crisis. If I don't, I won't have a court. People will die. They'll be too weak from hunger to gossip. I don't care if Joseph is a slave. The question is... Is he wise and discreet enough to govern Egypt through the famine crisis? If so, he will be prime minister. Soon the entire world will know that we have food. Food! People will flock to our gates begging for food. Egypt will become the savior of all men. We will be proud of our prime minister, even though he was a mere slave. Now let's be honest and fair with Joseph. In your investigation, did you find anything against him? Has he ever been disloyal, dishonest?
No. Those who know him, Your Majesty, report that he would rather die than be disloyal or dishonest.
Trustworthy?
Oh, completely, Your Majesty.
Is he... Do people like him? Well, that's important to be a successful Prime Minister.
Well, I didn't find a single person who disliked Joseph. Even Captain Potiphar likes Joseph, Your Majesty.
Amazing.
Well, I have come to the conclusion that Joseph is a remarkable man, Your Majesty. Other than being a slave, he has all the qualities that should make him a powerful, effective, and wise prime minister for Egypt during these next 14 years of emergency.
Then you endorse Joseph as prime minister?
Except that he is a slave, yes, Your Majesty.
And we must not let the fact that he is a slave influence our thinking in choosing the right man for such a position, must we?
Oh, indeed, we must not, Your Majesty.
My mind is made up. Lackey?
Yes, Your Majesty.
I'm scheduling a meeting of all the members of my court. All of them. There will be no exceptions for the day after tomorrow. See that they're all notified?
Yes, Your Majesty. Princes, ladies, lords, governors... Wise men, magicians, all members of the Royal Egyptian Court, His Majesty Pharaoh, great and mighty monarch of all Egypt, requests your attention. His Majesty, King Pharaoh!
Long live the king!
I'm sure that all members of my court are familiar with the fact that Egypt is about to come face to face with a dire emergency in the occasion of a coming 7-year famine. As your king and provider of your every substance, it is my duty and pleasure to make provision for your comfort and livelihood during the famine. As all of you know, it was a lowly slave, a prisoner in the royal dungeon, who made known unto me the coming of this 7-year famine. All the wise men, sorcerers, magicians, all in my court were unable to reveal this secret to me. Is there then such a man as this in all the land? A man in whom the spirit of God is? Members of my court, I take great pleasure in introducing to you this lowly man in whom the spirit of God dwells. Lackey, bring him forth. Joseph, come forward near my throne.
Long live the king.
You are Joseph, a Hebrew from Canaan?
I am he, your majesty.
You predicted that Egypt would have 7 years of famine.
All the world will have 7 years of famine, your majesty, preceded by 7 years of plenty.
Your counsel to me was to choose a wise and discreet man and set him over the land of Egypt to gather together food during the 7 good years and store it for use during the 7 famine years.
The God of heaven, him who I worship, has revealed these things to me, your majesty. I am merely his servant.
For as much as your God has shown you these things, Joseph, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. I am placing you over my house, Joseph, and according to thy wishes and thy word shall all the people of Egypt be ruled. Only on the throne shall I be greater than thou. Members of my court, witness this. I remove from my finger the royal signet ring. I put it upon your hand, Joseph. With this signet ring, your word becomes law. I am Pharaoh, king of all Egypt. Without Joseph shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt. Joseph, henceforth you shall be known as Zaphnath-Paneah, prime minister of Egypt.
And Pharaoh made Joseph to ride in the 2nd chariot which he had, and they cried before him,
Bow the knee! His Royal Highness Joseph, governor of all Egypt, passes by! Bow the knee!
And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt.
The main storehouse will be built here. Roads and trails leading to it must be hard surfaced for the constant train of carts and wagons bringing grain from the fields. Additional and smaller storage places will be built in a line from that large tree to the base of that. We'll collect from each farmer all the grain and corn above a certain percentage of the yield. You will be notified exactly how much. You will be held accountable for an accurate record of the measures of corn and grain. Members of this city council, I've called you together to outline plans for the storage of foods during the coming 7 years of plenty. I've made plans for the taxing and gathering of grains and food. It is up to you to provide storage places for this food. It will be no small task. So you must plan immediately for the construction of huge, waterproof storage places. They must be centrally located and of easy access. As representative of His Majesty, King Pharaoh, I order that these instructions...
And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, gave Joseph to wife, Asenath, daughter of the high priest of On.
You're very beautiful, Asenath.
Oh, Joseph, my husband... You always say the right thing at the right time.
Well, you are beautiful.
No wonder you're such a success everywhere, with everyone. You know exactly what to say and how to say it. Joseph, I love you very much.
Well, what brought all this on?
You're going away. You're never home for very long at a time, and I... Well, I was depressed and sad, but You know just how to cheer me up and make life worthwhile, even when you're away.
No, I'm going away on business for the king, you know.
It's more than that, Joseph, dear. You're in the business of saving Egypt, the whole world, from hunger and starvation.
Oh, now, you're on my team, so you're prejudiced.
Everyone who knows you is on your team. I used to wonder about that. Before I knew you, I marveled that a young man from another country could come to Egypt as a slave, and in a few years be cast into prison, then in another few years be elevated to the, well, the highest position in the land, next to the king himself. But now that I know you, it's no mystery. It's really quite simple. Want me to tell you?
Well, it would be interesting to hear your version, yes.
It's your personality. You. You're true, loyal, friendly. You have all the qualities that people admire in others. You're just you. That's my version. It's true, too, isn't it?
No, dear. God has given me success. He's made me what I am.
Oh, in a sense, yes, of course. But if that's absolutely true, how come all people aren't as successful as you? After all, God loves everyone, and he's just as willing to help others as he is to help you. Now, tell me the real reason you're so successful.
God gives opportunities. Success depends upon the use we make of them.
What do you mean?
As a child, my father not only taught me to love and obey God, but also to be faithful in doing little things, the little everyday tasks. And to remember the claims of duty above the claims of pleasure and inclination.
I can understand that.
By learning to be faithful in smaller things, we acquire strength to be faithful in greater matters.
Yes, I just never thought of it that way before.
As I grew into young manhood, God tested me by permitting me to be sold as a slave. Then, to be successful under Potiphar, only to be falsely accused, cast into prison. The discipline, trial of these experiences have all been part of my training to prepare me to fill a greater position of responsibility. Now, do you see?
I see one thing very clearly. You're a wonderful man and husband. And I love you very dearly.
During the 7 years of plenty, the land of Egypt brought forth in great abundance. And Joseph gathered up the grain during the 7 good years and laid up food in the cities. And it was as the sands of the sea, for it was without number.
As the sands of the sea, eh? None of our people are going to starve during the next 7 years of famine. Thanks to you, Joseph.
And unto Joseph and Asenath were born 2 sons before the years of famine were come. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh.
God has caused me to forget my trials of the past and the intense longing I've had for my father's home. So,
his name shall be Manasseh. Manasseh.
And the name of the second son Joseph called Ephraim.
Ephraim, fruitful in a strange land. That shall be this son's name, Ephraim.
And the 7 years of plenty that was in the land of Egypt ended.
Known throughout the land of Egypt that beginning with sunrise tomorrow morning it shall be unlawful to destroy or in any manner waste a single morsel of food. His Majesty Pharaoh, King of Egypt, does hereby order that all matters relative to food shall be referred directly to Zaphnath-Paneah, the royal prime minister. Whatsoever he tells you to do, that's do. His word is law. Signed, Pharaoh, King of Egypt.
And Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold bread unto the Egyptians. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because there was famine over all the face of the earth. The famine was severely felt in Canaan, where Jacob dwelt with his families and his flocks and herds.
The food, is there much left?
Scarcely any, Father. Only enough for several more weeks. And the children are hungry, crying most of the time.
We just can't keep this up much longer, Father. We've got to have food.
The crops, can anything be salvaged at all?
No, they're completely withered and gone.
I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Perhaps we can go there and buy some.
Yes, I heard that too. But I don't believe it. A traveler was telling Judah and me that the king of Egypt has been storing up grain and corn for the last 7 years so they'd have enough to carry them over this famine. But that's impossible. How would he know there was going to be a famine?
God would know.
Yes, Father, but those Egyptians worship idols. They know nothing about the true and living God. The tale of food stored in Egypt is just a fantasy. Nothing to it.
It is our only chance of survival. We have to take the chance. Reuben, my son, you and your 9 brothers, take money, and with your donkeys, go to Egypt. Buy corn and bring it back here. As much as they'll let you buy.
But what if there is none at all to buy?
Come back, and we shall all perish together.
I don't know, Reuben. I'm fearful of what'll happen.
What do you think will happen?
I don't know. I wish I did. But I have a feeling that all isn't going to go well with us when we go to Egypt. For some reason, my mind keeps conjuring up visions of disaster.
Like what?
Nothing definite. It's just a feeling.
Does it have anything to do with Joseph?
No, I don't think so. Yet, it could be, I suppose. My memory never forgets that moment I saw Joseph disappear over the hill with those merchantmen on his way to oblivion and slavery. And I, Simeon, I was chiefly responsible. I'll never forget it.
I think you could, Simeon. I think all of us could forget it. If we went to Father and confessed the whole thing...
We've discussed this before, Reuben, many times. And I'm still of the opinion that it would be cruel to confess to Father. He would feel much worse about it than he does now. I would rather go on feeling guilty and badly than to bring any additional grief to Father.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Reuben! Reuben! Don't you think it's about time we made camp for the night? The donkeys are about done in.
So am I.
All right, Levi. Make camp at the first likely spot.
So this is Egypt.
This is Egypt.
What is that up ahead, Reuben?
I thought it was a village. No, I'm not sure.
I never saw a village like that. One large, huge building flanked by other buildings almost as large. And there are no tents nor people.
I see one person. A man standing in front of that biggest building. He looks like a soldier.
He is a soldier.
Must be guarding whatever's inside that building. Wonder what?
Let's find out. Stop and ask him. We need a rest anyway.
All right, when we get closer.
I don't think it's wise to go too close, all of us. Perhaps we'd better stop here and just the two of us approach that guard.
Probably so. All right. Levi, stop the caravan.
Halt! Who goes there?
Strangers. On our way to the capital city.
Approach and be identified.
Thank you, God. We're from Canaan, sons of Jacob.
What do you want?
Directions on how to get to the capital city.
Keep going south.
We've heard that there's food here in Egypt for sale. Can you tell us who we should see about it?
Zaphnath-Paneah.
Zaphnath-Paneah? Who's he?
The prime minister.
Oh, is there much food to be purchased from this the prime minister?
Plenty.
Where does all this food come from?
Zaphnath-Paneah.
Yes, but where does he get the food?
Storehouses.
Storehouses? Well, who stored the food in these storehouses?
Zaphnath-Paneah.
Zaphnath-Paneah?
It's obvious, my dear brother Reuben, that this Zaphnath-Paneah is quite a fellow.
This building, this big building is a storehouse, and it's full of food?
All of these buildings are storehouses, filled with food.
All of these buildings are... Oh, my, there must be enough food in these buildings to last a lifetime, the whole world.
There are many other store places like these. Egypt is dotted with them.
Others, like these, as big as these.
Some are bigger. Zaphnath Paniya is a big man.
I see what you mean.
And Zaphnath Paniya is also a good man.
He must be.
Come, Simeon. Let's be on our way to the capital city.
Yes, and get our fair share of all this food that has so kindly stored up.
You feel better, huh?
But yes, it's a great morning, a wonderful world. Thanks to that long-named Prime Minister's foresight, we can buy all the food we can carry. Soon we'll be back home with food for our loved ones. Life once again will be worth living. Feel better. I'm on top of the world. La, 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 la.